America at the crossroads. Remember a song by Eric Clapton, went down to the crossroads. He didn't write it, but I remember him singing it, talking about a place where you're making a deal, whether you're going to go in this way or that way, and make a deal with the devil so they can get, you know, famous and popular and make lots of money and have women and all that this world could offer. And you know, it is a truth, and I've heard it out of the mouths of some of these celebrities and rock musicians. They've literally, you know, made pacts with Satan to be famous and to become successful and to make lots of money. And if they really knew what they were doing, they wouldn't do that, obviously. They'd have no idea what they're really doing. You don't know how nasty that dude really is. But in Genesis chapter 12 and then verse 2, this is God's promise to Abram. The Lord said to Abram, "Get out of your country, from your family, from your father's house, to a land that I will show you." God is pulling Abraham up out of everything that he had trusted in, was familiar with, that he knew. And he said in verse 2, "I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." How is that possible? Because of the seed, right? The promise was that through him the Messiah would be born. He wasn't speaking in plural. He's speaking of the seed, which would be Jesus. And so God chose Abram. God justified Abraham for what reason? Right. He declared him to be righteous because he believed what God said. He was what we call the father of faith. And this is the beginning where God he's called a man. He raised him up. And through him and through his family line would come the hope of the world, Jesus, the Messiah. And all the nations of the earth would be blessed through Christ, the seed of Abraham. So it's speaking of Christ here. But this Abram was to Abraham and to his descendants. And you know as well as I do that in Christ we also are an heir, amen, to the throne and to the same promise that God gave to Abraham. Why? Because it's the same method of being justified in the New Testament as Abraham was justified in the Old Testament. So some people will say, well, what did people do before the cross? And how could they be saved? How could they go to heaven? Well, you know, before that time in the Old Testament, well, the same way we go to heaven today, by faith in God, by trusting in the Lord. And Abraham was a man who believed. He trusted in the Lord, and so he was declared righteous by God, a friend, actually called a friend of God. And so God gives him this promise, and that through his seed, you know, the nations would be blessed. Now, I want you to spring forward to Romans chapter 11, and I just want to kind of start from here, how God deals with individuals and nations. In particular, here it's in relation to Jews and Gentiles. Romans 11. And let's begin at verse 15, because we don't have time to go through it all, but I'd encourage you to really do a study in this chapter. It's an awesome chapter. And by the way, those who believe that God is through with national Israel, that and those who believe in replacement theology, as we say, need to read this chapter. It's very clear that God still has a purpose for Israel. And he says, "For if their being cast away is the reconciling of the world, what will their acceptance be but life from the dead?" Now we know that in John chapter 1 it says, "To as many as received him," right? To them he gave the right to become the sons of God. But it also says, just before that, it says that, you know, he came, Jesus, the Word, came unto his own, but his own would not receive him. So he was rejected of the ancient people, God's ancient people, Israel, amen, the Jews. And so then God raised up men like such as Peter and Paul, right, to go where? to the Gentiles, right? To take the gospel to the non-Jewish peoples. So he's saying here that because Israel had rejected the Messiah when he came, you know, they had lost all the blessings. They had lost God's favor as a nation. Now, we see that even still there is a remnant according to faith. Amen? And because of the remnant, even the others often are blessed because of those who do believe. The same thing is true in our own lives and our own families. If we believe, even the unbelieving spouse can be sanctified by the believing spouse. So where there's iniquity, grace abounds more. And so we are influencers, whether we realize it or not, because of the Spirit of God in us, wherever we go, we are influencers. And so there's a remnant, there's always been, God's had a remnant throughout history that have been true to him, that had not bowed their knee to Baal, if you will, or to Satan. And so he said, verse 16, for if the first fruit, speaking of what? Of the Jew, is holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root is holy, so are the branches. Now, if some of the branches were broken off, speaking of what? The unbelieving Jews. And you, being a wild olive tree, Gentiles, you and I, were grafted in among them, and with them became a partaker of the root and fatness of the olive tree. He says in verse 18, do not boast against the branches. But if you do boast, remember that you do not support the root, but the root supports you. You will say then, branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Well said, because of unbelief they were broken off, and you stand by faith. Do not be haughty, but fear. For if God did not spare the natural branches, he may not spare you either. Therefore, verse 22, consider the goodness and severity of God. In the New Living Translation, it says, notice how God is both kind and severe. He is severe towards those who disobeyed, but kind to you, who? Non-Jewish peoples, Gentiles, if you continue to trust in his kindness. But if you stop trusting, you also will be cut off. Now, I want you to think about Jonah, who was given an assignment to go and cry out against Nineveh, a sin-sick city that were their enemies, and yet God chose a man, a prophet, to go and speak to that people. And so Jonah decided that he wanted to go a different direction. He got on the boat, and it created a great storm. How many know that your life will get really stormy when you try to run away from the will of God? It doesn't get better. It gets worse. There are people who begin in the right direction, and then they get off track somewhere, and life starts to get really stormy. But the good news is that there's still hope if you come back. And God's always waiting for us just to come back. And so, thank God there was hope for Jonah. And so, what happened was Jonah says, I'm the one. You know, you need to get rid. If you get rid of me, you know, you'll save your lives. So Jonah, if you will, was planted. He was the seed that was planted in the sea. Amen. And he saved a boatload of guys because of his sacrifice. Amen. He said, get rid of me and you guys will live. So at least he was a good enough guy to say, hey, get rid of me. So at least you'll live. But it says that Jonah was, you know, cast into the depths of the sea. There's some believe that he literally died there. And there was a great fish, of course, that swallowed him up. Story goes on to say that the fish vomited him up, right? But after he had repented, I think I'd be repenting too. Oh, God, get me out of this one. I'll do whatever you say, Lord, just get me out of this fish. And so he did. And he vomited him out. And as a result of his repentance, I want you to hear this, of his being reconciled to God, a whole city was saved. So not only did a boatload was saved, amen, initially, But because of his repentance and his recommissioning. His recommissioning. See, God, the calls, amen, the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. God just calls and said, this is your assignment. Do what you will with it, but this is your assignment. In other words, you can't get out of your assignment. You can choose not to do it, but you're still going to be held responsible for what you were given to do. So the best thing to say is yes. Okay, Lord. And you'll never regret it because it's a life of joy. It really is. It's a life of joy. And so Jonah, we see, is a type of those who had, you know, had fallen away temporarily, but then they had been reconciled. And in this chapter, he's talking about the fact that the Jews are going to be reconciled nationally. There's going to be great revival. Amen. God's going to restore his people. And right now, you know, these blessings of Abraham have come primarily upon the non-Jewish peoples, the church. Amen. The believing Gentiles. But we see, and I don't know if you noticed it, but we're seeing a shift. Things are starting to change. There's a great shaking. There's a great falling away. And God's people, their eyes are starting to open up. The Jews are starting to wake up. They're starting to realize who Jesus is, that he is the Messiah.
That's right.
And so this is no time to be playing church. The fact is that we stand by faith in the goodness and the kindness of God. Don't toy with that. Are you with me? Because he says, otherwise, you being a wild branch can be broken off and replaced with a natural branch very easily. And what I get out of this is that there is a certain number that God has. There are only so many slots, folks. Do a study on that. God's not willing that anyone should perish, but God knows what that number is. And there's a coming a time, it's called the end of the time of the Gentiles. Right now, I believe we're in that time where we're able to be saved. We're able to get on the ark, Jesus Christ. Amen. Because the storm is coming. And we can find refuge and find shelter now in the Lord. But that's not going to be forever. There is a time appointed when God's going to shut the door. And he's going to turn to his ancient people. It's time to get on board. It's time to get your heart right and quit playing games. Quit playing with sin. Amen. Repent today. America is at a crossroads. We are in a place right now, folks. Some would call it a tipping point. It could go either way. We're at the tipping point right now, folks. You and I are the answer in Christ. Amen?
Yes.
We are the answer in Christ. God has given us authority. He's given us the power of the Holy Spirit where we can effect change in our world. Whether they hear you or not, even in Jeremiah's day, he said, whether they listen or not, speak the words that I tell you to speak. Because the day will come when they will know that the word of the Lord had come to them.
Yeah, that's right.
And in some cases, that will bring people's repentance in a time and hour of desperation. Because even though they may reject it now, the time is coming when everyone is going to get into a place where they're going to have to choose who they're going to serve. God says, I will not have you lukewarm. Either be hot or cold or I'll spit you out. God, there's a shaking going on. There's a shaking going on in church. Some of them are falling like dead figs, folks. I mean, people that you would never expect. People who were once very solid in the Lord. Even those high-profile ministers sometimes, some of them have fallen and they haven't gotten back up. This is no time to be playing games. It's time to draw near to God. It's time to get your heart right with God. It's time to hold on to Jesus like never before. Get a hold of him. Know his voice. Hear what he's saying. Do what he says. Because there's safety in the voice of God. There's safety if we'll hear what he says. God never does anything without first revealing it to his servants, the prophets. So hear what the Lord is saying today. In 2 Chronicles 7, we know this verse very well, verse 14. I want us to look at this, though, from verse 11. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 11. This is after Solomon had finished the temple and his own palace. And the Lord appeared to him at night, Second Chronicles chapter 7, verse 11. And he came to him with two things. He came to him with promises and warnings. Behold, the goodness and severity of God. So he comes to Solomon with promises and warnings in the event that God sent, if God was going to send drought or locusts or pestilence on the people, that they should do what? Humble themselves, pray, seek his face, and turn from their wicked ways. Then he would forgive their sins and restore them. So let's look at this at verse 11. Thus Solomon finished the house of the Lord and the king's house. And Solomon successfully accomplished all that came into his heart to make in the house of the Lord and in his own house. And this is the second appearance to Solomon. Then the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said to him, I have heard your prayer, and I have chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. When I shut up heaven and there is no rain, or command the locusts to devour the land, or send pestilence against my people, if my people. Now, I've said this before, but I mentioned this one time at a ministerial association meeting. And I said, you know what, guys? I said, the church is responsible for the direction of this nation. And one of them openly rebuked me. That sounds like condemnation. Come on. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face. Now, folks, this seek my face means to continually seek him. It means to walk with the Lord consistently. It doesn't mean I do something on Sunday morning and then I forget about God. It means that I commit my life to seeking him and to hear his voice and to do his will. And turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. He's put it in the hands of his people. Once again, why? Because God has chosen a people on the earth that would represent him. And that people were the Jewish nation. Amen? The Israelites. They were to be a people that were to represent Jehovah God in the earth. They were not to be the sole recipients of the blessing, but they were to be conduits through whom the blessing would flow. Likewise, in Christ, as joint heirs and as recipients of the same blessings of Abraham in the same covenant of promise, you and I are not to be the sole recipients of the blessing, but we are to be conduits through whom God will reach and touch and bless others. And we are also the ones that are here on assignment in the earth as ambassadors to make an effective difference. Are you with me? Yes. By doing what God tells us to do.
Amen.
If my people called by my name, that's you and me, Christians, Christ followers, amen, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then I will hear. Then I will hear. We need to understand the seriousness of this hour, of the time we're living in, folks, that we too quickly are drawn away. We're too quickly distracted. We begin with good intentions. We make vows before God. We say, this time. But you know what? We need to really get a hold of this and understand. For the sake of our nation, for the sake of our people, for the sake of our children, for the sake of our grandchildren, we need to get right with God. We need to start crying out to God, calling on the mercy of God. We need to start calling heaven down in our nation. We need to pray for revival. You know, when I pray for revival for this nation, whenever we pray for that, something just explodes with inside me that's the heart of God. He wants to revive America. He wants to spare America. He will do it, at least for a time longer, until that number comes in. Because it's going to be just like it was in Noah's day. The word had been going out for 120 years. He was a preacher of righteousness. The people refused the message, didn't believe. They were eating and drinking, giving in marriage, you know, just life as usual. Until the day that they entered into the ark and the floods came and took them all away, they didn't know. Only 8 souls were saved in that entire world. Folks, I believe Jesus, when he said, when they asked him, Lord, will there be many saved? He said, strive to enter in at the narrow gate, for wide is the road that leads to destruction. And many go that way. And he said, there will be few who will be saved. And who are the few who will be saved? Those who trust in Jesus Christ. Those who are fully trusting in the grace of God. Amen? Those who aren't trusting in ourselves, but we're sold out for Jesus. He's my life. He's my hope. He's my answer. Hallelujah. Folks, can I suggest to you to quit seeking out the American dream? Amen? Seek God. Seek His righteousness. Seek His face. Seek His kingdom. Seek His purposes. So much of the church has been choked by the American dream. How can I be more successful? How can I be blessed? How can I be happy? The only happiness you're going to really find is in Christ. Isn't that, am I right? God said, I'll take care of your needs. You won't even worry about it. But seek me first. Seek the kingdom and my righteousness, not your own. So what about America? We're the ones who have the knowledge of God, folks. We can't expect people who don't know God to follow God. But we do have the knowledge of God as His people. You see? That's why we have a responsibility. Yeah. We get mad at the ACLU. We get mad at the abortionists, you know, and this group and that group. You know what, folks? We need to quit looking at the fruit and start looking at the root. The root is, the heart of America is sick. It's the heart. Amen. And it's what's going to change the heart is the intervention of God. It's the only thing. It's the only thing that's worked in our lives is the intervention of God in our hearts. It changes us from inside out. People are trying to put bandages on things and patching things and trying to add new to the old. And God is saying, you got to be born again. You got to forsake that old thing, throw it away, discard it. Run into the heart of God. Run with all your might to Jesus. Folks, when I got saved, I wasn't playing patty cake. I didn't care what anybody thought. I ran to the nearest altar. I got saved in my bedroom. But I tell you what, when I got to church, man, I wanted to get down there and I wanted God. I was just reaching out for God. God, I just want more of you. It was real. Am I right? Passion. It was a gift of God. It was the work of God. It was the reality of the kingdom that came in. The love of God that broke through. Hallelujah. Folks, we need that kind of, I pray God, we need radical transformation. We don't need to live in maintenance mode for 20 years. We had to break out of that thing. Put to death the old man. Put him to death every day. Deny him. Ignore him. I'm done with you. You're dead. I'm new. I'm brand new in Jesus. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. Old things have passed away. I've been born again. Start telling yourself what's happened already. Amen. Start talking to yourself about what God says about you. You quit listening to that other dude that just beats you down and tells you you're nobody, you're nothing. And come on, he's a liar. You're going to become like you behold. If you behold those lies, you're going to start living like a lie. That's the problem. People are living the lie because they're believing the lie. They're living in condemnation. They're living in fear. They're living in defeat because they believe they're defeated and they're fearful and they're all that. Why? Because they're listening to the wrong voice. That's not what God says. It's an illegal thought. Take it captive. Cast it down. Get a hold of what God says. Start getting in. Amen. Meditate in this word. Find out what God says about you. You know, the condition of America is the result of years of neglect, compromise, and apathy. This is how the Lord deals with the nation. Jeremiah 18, verse 7. Jeremiah 18, verse 7. He said, the instant I speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom, this is very general now, to pluck up, to pull down, and to destroy it. If that nation against whom I have spoken turns from its evil. I will relent of the disaster that I thought to bring upon it. And the instant I speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom, to build and to plant it, if it does evil in my sight, so that it does not obey my voice, then I will relent concerning the good with which I said I would benefit it. That's America. God is turning his favor away from America. You want his favor back? Seek his face. Let's get back. Let's return. Amen? Let it begin with me. Let it begin with us. Let's turn back. God, help us. Grant us grace, Father. Oh, God, we don't want to become apathetic. See, Israel had received the law. Jesus appeared to Israel first. The Messiah came to Israel. The gospel was first preached there. And, you know, I've shared this before, but we see a pattern in the history of nations. Bondage to repentance. They from a place of desperation, they cry out, they repent. And then from repentance is a spiritual awakening. And then from the spiritual awakening, then comes prosperity. See, God wants to prosper America again. And then prosperity so often turns to complacency. And then from complacency to a total lack of concern, which is called apathy. And apathy back to bondage. Has anybody ever been through that in your own life as an individual? You see, when God speaks, even concerning nations, folks, how many realize that nations are made up of individuals? They're made up of individual people. That means when God speaks about a nation, he's speaking about me as an individual. If I will take responsibility as an individual, and then I can have the influence in my family, amen? And if we as a family and as a church, we start taking responsibility as individuals, we make up the church, we make up the family, we make up society, we make up America as individuals. It's not, I'll leave it up to them to be holy for me. I'll leave it up to them to fix me. I'll leave it up to them to carry me. It's time for us to get back to God, amen, and understand that the only one that's going to carry you in the days ahead is God, amen. It's time to cut the curtains, what they call it, the apron strings, the umbilical cord. We need to get close to the Lord. We need to draw near to God. And when we do, it's glorious. Has anybody ever been disappointed when you've drawn near to God? Has anybody ever gone away disappointed or bummed out after you had an encounter with God? Any encounter with God is glorious, amen, when we're seeking him. Sometimes it's not so glorious when we're getting a spanking. But that's because we're running from him and he loves us so much. He doesn't want to lose us. I don't like spankings, do you? It's always easier to say, yes, Lord. Quit making excuses. Just get it right. Just get it right with God. Make up your mind. That's what repentance means. Make up your mind. If God is God, serve him. If an individual, church, or nation's conduct angers the Lord, he will allow their enemies to overtake them. Look at Israel's history. We see even as an individual, King Saul, you know, when he disobeyed the word of the Lord in 1 Samuel 15 and he spared Agag and the best of the sheep and the oxen, remember? He disobeyed the Lord and he was rejected as king. And it says that Saul received a tormenting spirit from the Lord. From the Lord. After David was anointed. So the spirit of the Lord came upon David and a tormenting spirit came upon the disobedient king. He'd lost favor because he disobeyed the word of the Lord. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 20, this is a warning to backsliders. He says, for if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than having known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. But it has happened to them, verse 22, according to the true proverb, a dog returns to his own vomit, and a sow having washed to her wallowing in the mire. Now, we also know that this is relating to the Jews, amen, who are allowing the Judaizers, the born-again Jews, who are allowing the Judaizers, who are also telling them, yes, grace by faith in Jesus, amen, but then you also have to observe all these ordinances of the law as well. And so they were causing this mixture, okay? And God's saying, listen, when you came out and you came into this new covenant in the blood of Jesus, you were cleansed, you were washed, amen? So now, even as Paul rebuked, was it Peter in Galatians for returning back into the bondage of the law again after they had been set free from it? He says, are you now, having begun in the Spirit, are you now justified by the law? He said, you started this way in Christ, you need to continue this way in the Lord. Continue to walk by faith every day. And so it's talking also to the Jew here, saying, listen, you know, if you've been washed by the blood of Christ, there's no other atonement. There's no other way to be justified. There's no other way to be cleansed except through that blood. And you know, a good way to talk to the Jews is to ask them the question is, well, what do you do about your sin now since there's no longer any offerings for sin? And I heard a Jew say that. He says, you pop that question on them because then they're going to say, well, you're right. And the reason why it's been taken away is because Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, amen, was slain, hallelujah, once and for all for the sins of the world. No longer does a lamb have to be slain to cover my sin, because Jesus did it all. And therefore, there's only one way to the Father, and that's through the Son and through the blood of the covenant. And as an individual, if we'll be responsible for ourselves, we'll begin to make an influence and a difference in our world. Amen? In our environment. And if we would corporately, you know, make the decision, make up our mind that we're going to live for the Lord. Hallelujah. For not only for my own sake, but for the sake of others. For the sake of our nation. For the sake of our people. For the sake of my family. Amen? I want to live for Jesus for the sake of you, for the sake of others. Hallelujah. I have to guard myself. Believe me, there's lots of temptations. Am I right, Pastor Frank? As a pastor, you got the bullseye on you all the time. The devil especially wants to take out leaders. So you really got to stay on high alert. But folks, all of us need to be on high alert. Because whether you know it or not, you are an influencer. You're influencing someone somewhere. And they're looking at you. And unfortunately, it's too often our kids are learning the wrong example because we're not living the way we should. And we're teaching them by the way we live. And they see the hypocrisy and they don't want anything to do with it. It's time for us to apologize sometimes to our kids if we've done that. And say, you know what, from now on, I'm repenting. I'm going to start following, leading, living for Jesus. And if I make a mistake, I'm not going to apologize to God, but I'll apologize to you too. Because everybody makes mistakes. God didn't say we're going to be perfect. He wants honest people. Sincere hearts. We can come. That's it. Another example, of course, is not only the individual, but churches. You know, in Revelation chapter 2, verse 18, we're not going to read it tonight. But you can read in chapter 2 and verse 18, the corrupt church, which is Thyatira, where he talks about this immoral Jezebel that was running rampant through the church, teaching, you know, causing them to commit sexual immorality. And folks, I don't believe that's just speaking of literal sexual immorality, but it is happening as well in the church. Amen? There's sexual immorality in the church. But it's also talking about spiritual immorality. It's idolatry. It's mixing the truth with a lie. It's mixing idolatry with Christianity. You go to certain places in the world, they've got these altars set up and they've got Jesus and Mary and all kinds of this and that and other types of gods that are set out there, and they're just worshiping everything. Folks, that's a mixture. That's spiritual harlotry. That's adultery. There is one way, one truth, one life, one way to the Father. That's Jesus. Amen. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. We've got to make our stand on this hope that we have. And then, of course, we see a nation, the example of that was Israel. Not only did they end up in Egyptian bondage because of their sin, because they turned away from God, they lost the blessing. But then even after they came out of Egyptian bondage, they did well for a while. Moses warned them, you know, once you've eaten and drunk and had your fill and you build houses and, you know, you become prosperous, don't forget the Lord who brought you out of bondage. And that's why they had communion. Amen. That's why they had Passover as a memorial, to remember what the Lord had done for them and their redemption by the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. That's why we take communion as well as a memorial. Amen. To remember the Lord's sacrifice. To remember that we're married to Him in covenant with Him. And so Israel eventually ended up in Babylonian captivity. And I don't have time to go into this tonight, but folks, if you take a look at Daniel in Babylon, you look at the three, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You know the story there where Nebuchadnezzar erected this great image unto himself, you know. And he said, when you hear the sound of the music and the playing, you know, and that everyone was to bow down and worship this image that he set up. That is a type, folks, of where we're heading into right now. That's exactly where the world is coming together under one head, and it's going to be Antichrist. Nebuchadnezzar is a type of that. And there's going to be an image unto the beast. And he's going to cause all to receive a mark, you know. Great and small, rich and poor, everyone. There's a system that's being implemented. You know it right now. Most of us are aware of that. Where you're going to be forced to make a decision. And it's not going to be, whoops, I accidentally took a mark. It's going to be a conscious decision to worship Lucifer. That's what they're actually plotting and planning. They're going to force. What happens when you go to the ATM to take out money and there's no money there? The government has an executive order to seal off, to freeze all assets. They have the power to do that. They have the power by executive order to stop all the petroleum. Shut down all transportation by executive order. What happens? There's no food. There's no transportation. There's no money. And they're telling you, if you want to get food, you want to eat, you want to live, you're going to have to receive this identification mark, whether it's a microchip, or even it's interesting, they're talking about the right hand and the forehead of all places, just like it says in Revelation. That no man may buy or sell, you know, save he who has the mark, or the number of his name, what? Or the number which is 666. Are they doing it in the military now? Are they marking already? I know they were doing it in Russia in fact, some guys are getting out. I just heard Gary talking about. Guys are getting out because they said next year they're starting, or they're going to implement. I don't know if they're already started, but they're talking about doing it. And it'll be done in the name of world peace. You know, identity theft. You know, we got to stop identity theft. So we're going to make it permanent. And now with the technologies today, they have computers that can think faster than we can think. And they can put enough information in those chips, and they can also track you anywhere on planet Earth within 10 feet. Even if you're in a cave or in a submarine, anybody that has that. I mean, this is the reality of the times we're living in. And most people don't have a clue. Even through television, yeah, through cable and through satellite, other ways they can just look right into your, through the computers now, I was just told. Even through that little thing, you're looking out. Well, they have. If you can look out, they can look in, apparently. I don't know about that. I'm not a... Maybe Robin knows, but I don't know. I'm not going to get off on the, you know, on the sensationalism about this. But let's just say this, that it's reality. It's the world we live in today. Things are happening, just like Jesus said. And so he said, when you see all these things begin to happen, then do what? Get depressed? Worry? Right. Look up, for your redemption draws nigh. But rejoice. Now, some people want to argue whether we're going to go in the rapture before the actual mark of the beast. All I can say is live for Jesus every day and you're not going to worry about it. And God is able. Amen. It's that simple. Just live for Jesus. Amen. Amen. Why worry?
And be pressed when you sit in front of your computer. Like, really pressed.
She'd be wearing a mask now, right? It's like, they'll never know who I am. I tell you what, if you want to get them to stop looking at you, just start preaching the gospel to them. Yeah. What does the Lord say? Robin, is this all right? I'm sorry, man. I keep him busy back there. He's like, he's got to deal with me. Listen, let's finish with this. The words of the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18 and 19. Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. That's what he's saying. Come on. I made a way for you. I made a way through the sea. I made a way through the tribulation. I made a way for you. There's a way of escape. There is a way of escape. And it's through Jesus. Let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. How many are willing and obedient? How many are going to get willing and obedient? But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. America is at a crossroads. You and I are either going to be part of the solution or part of the problem. If we want to see our nation change, we want to see changes in us, in our families, in our church, in our society, in our nation, it's going to begin with you and me as an individual. Being responsible before the Lord as an ambassador to fully represent Him in every way that He leads us to do so. Amen. If we, as His people, will humble ourselves and pray and seek His face. That's the answer right there. And turn from our wicked ways. Then, He said, I'll hear from heaven. If you want it in your individual life, it works the same way. If you turn from your wicked way, be done with it. Done with the idolatry, done with the world, done with the devil, done with all the junk, done with all the foolishness. I'm going to walk in wisdom, I'm going to walk in life, I'm going to walk with Jesus. Put an end to all strife. Father, I thank you for your word tonight. Lord, we thank you that you love us, that you're there for us, that we don't have to worry. Instead, we can rejoice because we see our redemption drawing nigh. Lift up your heads. Your redemption draws nigh. Oh, let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Behold, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. And if I go away to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Lord, we rejoice. Hallelujah, for the Lord shall descend from heaven with a shout, amen, with a trump of God. Hallelujah. And dead in Christ shall rise first, and we who are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. We'll be gathered together unto the Lord in that day. Hallelujah. So encourage one another. Hallelujah. There's no time to be depressed and worried because, you know, there's no worry in God. There's no fear in His love. So bury yourself in His presence. Abide in Him. Stay connected. Stay in the secret place of the Most High. Stay in the Word. Stay in prayer and in praise. And let heaven fill your heart day by day. And the people who are looking with hopelessness will see hope in you and I. And we can tell them of our hope. The hope that's within us. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.